All right, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
For those of you out there that thought we were going to let that play through and finish it, we're not disrespecting the anthem. We're actually respecting it enough to not play that crap all the way through. Oh. That was Fergie. We are Nick, Barry, Joel, the usual suspects. We'll take you till 4 o'clock. Welcome into a Monday, and hey, what up, H-Town? How you doing?
Dude, I thought for sure that we were going to come in on Monday with nothing to talk about. And then Fergie happened, and then Cushing is gone, and then UFC card was stacked full of Texas fighters. The NBA All-Star, I'm sorry, I fell asleep.
Sleepaganza?
I can't even, what a weirdly interesting weekend of sports.
No doubt about it. There's a ton to talk about, even maybe a NASCAR mention for the first time in the history of The Usual Suspects.
What?
Yeah.
No, I won't have it. I won't stand for it. I'm out of here.
And who knew that ESPN 97.5 FM is probably in the process of creating their own new show tandem, and they made an appearance on TV without telling anybody?
Bunch of guys that don't even work here that work here.
Yeah, how about that?
There seems to be a lot of that going around.
At least they dressed up. What the hell is going on around here, Vince Lombardi?
I don't know.
It's going to be one of those days, but I like it, because you know what? As long as we're here and you're there, then it's our time, and for the next 3 hours, we're going to kick it around and have some fun like we always do.
I'm kind of depressed. Last night and this morning, I started doing my taxes.
Ooh. I hate that topic.
Boy, income is stupid. Like, we should go to the barter system. It's, you know, because TurboTax will mess with your mind when you're doing it, because you'll start off and you'll plug in some numbers and they're like, hey, look at you. Oh, you're getting this money back. And then you start plugging in more and they're like, oh, maybe not as much. Oh, you owe now. It's like, what happened?
It's like Madden in the Telestrator. You're rolling along, running down the sideline, all of a sudden, boom, right there.
I'm like, man, I got to come up with, can I deduct? I'm just trying to come up. Are cats deductible? Is that, do you get like a credit, like a child credit for cats?
No.
Damn.
That's why I just take it to one spot. I'm too stupid to do all that TurboTax stuff.
I used to have a CPA, but man, he wasn't doing it. I did all the work. And I would,
I'm
like,
with you.
You know, you'd get this whole spreadsheet together. I had to itemize all of the receipts and all. And then I was like, well, I might as well just, all I'm doing is handing it to him and he enters it all. I might as well do that in TurboTax and save myself the money. So,
yeah. And the thing, I'm with you, the CPA thing, it's like, and then when you end up paying at the end of the day and then he sends you a bill on top of it, I'm like, so I'm paying you so that I can pay them too?
Yeah.
Nah.
And he's like, well, it's tax deductible. Bro,
and that's the other thing.
Don't mock me.
Lisa, with her business, you know, being in her business, you know, outfits, makeup, all that stuff, save receipts. Oh, no, but you can go back and pull all the old credit card bills and we can circle. I'm like, now? Now when it's time to turn this stuff in? No, come on.
Mm-mm. No, yeah, it's very frustrating, but at least I'm not waiting. Usually I end up waiting until like April 14th, the night of.
Yeah, my place is way too flexible. They'll let you do it like the day before. Then they'll say, hey, we have an extension for it. You know what I mean? They'll do it basically anytime you want.
Now, see, though, the problem is I've got to wait for various comedy clubs to send me my 1099, because when I get paid through comedy, it says I'll get a 1099 miscellaneous, because I'm just considered a contractor for the club. Mm-hmm. So in some clubs, like if you don't make $600, they normally won't send you a 1099. So if I just work one club one time.
And you love them for that.
Well,
if you're but depending on how honest you are in your taxes,
yeah,
you love them
because then you're like, do I need still report this? Are they reporting it? Because even though they don't issue you a 1099, in my mind, I'm still thinking, well, I'm definitely an expense for them, so they have to be filing it somehow with the IRS. It's not like they're just ignoring what they paid me. So then, but then I've got some clubs that are sending me 1099s, and I didn't make $600 with them. It's like I just worked one night. Why are you sending me this? So it just, it's a hassle. And then I'm worried that if I file too soon, because club owners are lazy as hell, and a lot of them aren't organized, I now end up getting a 1099 in March. And it's like, dude, I've already filed. What?
See, but that's the thing. I don't envy you, and it is a way to try and keep it organized, and I know you're more organized than most, but that would be such a bitch to be on the road and have to go, well, I'm going to keep receipts for my gas, for my meals, for anything that I do on the road because I can, but in the process of saying you can, it just makes the filing process with your taxes that much more of a pain in the ass.
Well, what I learned is that you can either take the mileage deduction, the standard deduction, which is like 53.5 cents or 52.5 cents,
okay,
or you can itemize. So you can do gas and all the other things that go with it. And for me, it's like, nah, I mean, I could go back, but as far as my time goes, my time is more valuable than having to go and look it up a $10 gas receipt or a 50. So I just take the mileage deduction because I think last year I put over 10,000 miles on my truck in comedy. So with 10,000 miles, I'm like, yeah, I'll just take the mileage deduction. If it was only a couple hundred or something like that, then I might look at. But at 10,000, I'm like, I'll just do that. That makes it easier, so.
Yeah, I'm with you. I dread tax time. And I never used to, but then you get married, you have a kid. There's a bunch.
So I thought I was going to have a great weekend, and then I sat down and did that. So
at least you're ahead of the game a little bit. I don't push it to the absolute limit of like the 15th, but definitely put it off a little ways because I'm just like, why put myself through the agony quicker than I have to?
Yeah.
Well, you get so ticked off.
Do you have any side stuff that you make money on, or is it just that you admit?
I did, and then just this last year, I was just like,
radio. Yeah.
I've
always had a business, which is part of why I had a CPA for so long, is because I always had something. For a while, it was the cage door. And then, you know, some other things that I was doing. And finally, it's just like, okay, I'm just going to do comedy and radio. And then that's the only things that I have to worry about. So everything else is done, and this is all I worry about now. But it's still a pain in the ass. There's no doubt. I mean, just I long for the days of a 1040 easy.
Gosh, no question about it. No question about it. The smarter you are with your money, the more drawn out your taxes become.
Yeah. Yeah.
I loved it when I was irresponsible, young, and single with a 1040E. I was just, wee!
Oh, yeah, man. You can go down there, and they'll do them for free now.
Yep, so. Blowing and going. But not anymore. Right, Nick?
I mean, I don't make enough money for this to be complicated, so it's pretty much pretty much where I am
single
right now.
Single and one employer, boom, 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 boom.
I don't mess. Yeah, it's if I'm there more than 20 minutes, I'm mean mugging them. I'm like, dude, we got to get out of here. I'm not doing.
I need my check, man. Just give me my money. Let
Nick's
me go.
Like, just give me my drinking money.
Do you get money back every year?
Every year.
Yep. I figured.
Every year, I don't want to reveal the number, but yeah.
No, don't.
Barry, for the simpler times when we could sit there and do that like those young whippersnappers.
Yeah, so the problem is like with comedy, they'll give you your money, but they don't take taxes out. So I have to take my own taxes out either at the time or pay at the end of the year. So that makes it harder. It's a mess. But mine's not as messy as some people. Like, could you imagine being a full-time business owner? Like, that's what you... Like, could you imagine, like, gals taxes and how the corporation has to do all that? That's, no thanks. Like Patrick Randall, who owns the flower shop. Yep. I bet tax season for him is a nightmare because it's like him and his wife and they own it. And
yeah, because it's not like a corporation when you've got accounting taking care of this and that and the other thing. It's all on you. Ooh, boy.
Yep.
So the day is coming, but because it's still a little ways away, you guys don't have to worry about it like we were. You guys can just worry about being a part of the show. That's why we call it The Usual Suspects. We love when you participate. The number is 713-780-3776. That's the HRNP listener line where you can call, you can text, or you can hit us up on Twitter where it's at Barry is funny, at the producer Nick, at Pac-Man Joel with a K. And we are responsive, unlike other shows, because we enjoy the interaction. That's why we call it what we do. We'll be back with a lot more, so stay right where you are. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, just getting started. It's The Usual Suspects on a Monday where we didn't know how much fun we'd have today leading into the weekend, but leading out of it, boy, I mean, talk about giving us more ammunition than we needed. Holy cow, it just stacked up just like that.
It did indeed.
Without question. And then to cap the night off, I'm watching sports at the end of the night, and I realized I got more fodder here than I probably had in anything else that we had to cover. I'm watching, for some ungodly reason, my wife's station after the morning show. I'm watching the Sports Sunday show.
Okay.
Which is a complete crapshoot as it is of, like, cable access TV. And yet...
Yeah, when are they going to have me on?
because you're climbing the ladder, Barry. What I found out is you're not quite to the level of the two ESPN 97.5 Rockets beat writers that were on last night.
Oh, we have those?
I didn't know that was a thing. Now, you know Kelly Iko, our intern that's still at UT, is my guy. I think he's a hardworking guy, and he's always on the grind trying to get it done, and I love it. So
you're a good mentor to him, by the way.
And I try. And he kicked me a text at about 6 o'clock last night and said, I need your help. I need some advice. I'm going to do TV for the first time. I don't know. I go, really, what you doing? So then my curiosity was piqued because he said he was doing the Sports Sunday show on Channel 11. So I said, well, I'll tune in. Well, I had walked him through, like, wear a sport coat, wear a dress shirt. It says casual. So, you know, kind of like you did with the Isaiah Factor.
Yeah, Lisa was great.
Yeah, don't overboard it. But when you're on TV, you upgrade. So you wear a sport coat. You don't have to wear a tie. You can wear some dark jeans.
Well, I didn't wear a sports coat because that's
I see
mine.
It. And the first thing that catches my mind is he looks like he's going camping. He's got a windbreaker half zip on with, like, he's a UT kid, but he looks like he's got an A&M t-shirt underneath it. And it looks like he just got drilled for being late to study hall. And then Alakon Bajani's next to him. And I'm like, okay, well, he's got the studious look, shirt, tie, half zip sweater, the whole work. He's next to him. But the thing that gets me more than any of that
so
is.
So he ignored your advice?
No.
You told him to dress up?
So I hadn't talked to him yet. So when I talked to him, I said, bro, what did you do? This is not what I told you. He goes, oh, well, they told me to relax, and they told me what I had on was great. So I went back and changed again. I go, they told you that because they didn't want you to look smarter than them and better dressed than them.
Yeah.
Because they already look like they're half-assing it.
Uh-oh.
But if you come out and you're dressed, you have confidence when you're dressed a certain way, as we know. And then when you're confident in what you say as well, the audience takes you seriously. They probably follow you on Twitter. They do all these things.
Correct.
But here's the thing, Barry. All that being said, and look, props to Kelly because he wanted to do it right. He was nervous. He was hard on himself. And he even committed your cardinal sin of calling the Rockets we. And you can't do that as a journalist either,
Kelly.
Right? So it's a learning experience. So
I beat him
up enough and saying, look, don't kill yourself over this.
Oh.
You know, this is going to be a learning experience. You just learn from it. You move on. But here's the thing. I don't know who did this. Right? I don't know if it was the station or it was the boys themselves.
Yeah.
But when they gave them the graphics and mentioned them, they mentioned again, and with graphics full blown, ESPN 97.5 FM's Rockets beat reporters. And I'm going, who?
Huh?
Where exactly, Nicholas? Huh?
So on the beat means you're going to all the games.
I go to all the home games.
You go and
to
I'm not
every
a beat
home
reporter.
Game. Right.
Unreal.
And the way they build it,
look,
to the common folk, it was like, oh, these guys are on every day on ESPN.
So there's one guy that should be thoroughly pissed and offended by that, and it is one Nicholas Sciarra.
Correct.
First of all, how is it that all these dudes go on behalf of this station, and I'm going to lump in some chicks too, and none of them work here? None of them work here.
Right.
Nick works here. And if you're gonna
6 days a week,
I'm not dissing Kelly, and I Kelly knows he's my dude. But if you're gonna have a guy on that you feel like covers the Rockets on a day in and day out basis from this station, there's two guys you would go to. The very first guy on that list is Nick because no one else is at the game every day. The second guy is you, Joel, because you were with him for 25 years. How is that not the first two names on your list from ESPN 97.5? How?
You can make the argument, Joel, because he's only 2 years removed or 1.5 years removed from the Rockets. But to Kelly's defense, though,
I mean, it's not his fault.
No, it's not his fault at all.
No, you don't turn that down.
I'd probably be the dumbass dressing like a radio guy to the TV set anyway. So,
you have resources to call as well. We'll help.
No, but it did shock me that when you told me, oh, they're trying to make him look worse, because I would think that affects your show if he doesn't look good.
It should. And the guy running the show, Jason, is the guy that basically should be giving him the right advice. And also, look, I said that to you in a production meeting, but a lot of times the guys, when they're not, I was talking about confidence, but a lot of times when you're not confident yourself in enough of what you bring to the table, you dress down the other people in either verbally or visually, so it makes you look of more prominence and importance on the show.
Right.
It's a bad look overall, though, because...
Yeah, that's what I feel.
Yeah, I
for the whole show, like, I wouldn't want you not dressed.
Yeah, and I mean, in his defense, again, he's young. He's going to be some. I think he's going to make it in this business.
Oh, Kelly is,
because Kelly is.
Both of them are.
He's good at what? Well, I don't know the other guy. Well, I can't speak to him.
He is intelligent and he knows the game.
Kelly hustles. He's smart. He's a good writer. He's a good dude. He's got a great personality. He's easy to get along with. So I don't want people to think that we're bagging on them, because we're not.
Not at all.
Not in the least bit. And I think Kelly one day he'll be a writer for somebody. He'll be whether it's a beat writer or whatever. If he stops saying we. But, yeah, I put him more on, like you guys are saying, Channel 11 and dressing him down and making him look, because he doesn't know. He's not going to tell. He's not going to turn around and go, no, I'm good with what I'm wearing. He's not going to stand
Kelly,
up and say
that. That's
not
Kelly's personality.
No.
He's a smooth type.
You didn't tell him,
of...
hey, go put this tank top on, and he would have done it.
Right.
Because he wants to.
Exactly. He's accommodating.
Learning the business.
He's polite.
Yes.
And here's the other thing
so
about
that's on
that.
Them.
And you've experienced this as well with all the stuff that you've done. No, done on TV too. You the thing is, you expect someone from that end to tell you, hey, you're going to go on from this time to this time.
Yes.
This is what we normally encourage you to wear. The, you know, if you have questions, ask me.
Well, and that's the one thing. Because when I finally booked the Isaiah Factor thing, I reached out to the producer. I said, hey, what talking points do you want me to prepare for?
Right.
Do you have any kind of dress code that you want me to... Where she goes, just jeans and a button up. And that's what I wore. I was like, cool. And I just needed to know colors, which I asked you and Lisa.
Yep.
But yeah, if I would have got there and they would have said, throw this t-shirt on, I'd have been like, nah, I'm good. I'm going to wear this. You're not going to put me on TV in a city of 6 million people in a damn t-shirt and a windbreaker. No. Nah. But he'll learn. He'll know
that's what
that.
I said. And I said, don't beat yourself up because of the fact that this was your first time and that you treat it as a learning experience. As long as you take something away from it and you're better the next time, it was the right thing to do and it wasn't a mess up at all.
Now, how did they do?
It was taped, which is good.
Good. So they got to edit it out.
Yeah, I think that, you know, you have one guy that is like big into analytics and stuff. So he's just spewing out numbers. Alicon is more into spewing out all the numbers and stuff like that. And for the common fan watching that, sometimes it's hard to digest all of that.
Right.
And Kelly was more kind of trying to just cut it into layman's terms about, you know, who you want to play in the playoffs and things like that. So, yeah, but I thought, you know, both I'm proud of both of the guys for you know, having the grapes to go out there and put yourself out there.
Dude, let me tell you what. We talked about it when I did the Isaiah Factor. I like, when we come in and sit down in the studio, I don't think any of us get nervous doing this. But I was nervous doing TV. And I'm 5 years into radio, 5 years into stand-up comedy, and, you know, and I shouldn't be, but I was. So I can't imagine how nervous Kelly was.
Yeah, it's a bit of a different dynamic. And I've been, believe it or not, I've been on Channel 8 once. And the only thing they can kind of tell you to change, like I wore a blazer that, for whatever reason, it had like these weird squares that gave the camera a weird haze or whatever. They gave me a different sports coat.
But they had one for you.
And I wore it. It made me feel a little more nervous because I felt weird about wearing another sports coat.
Yeah.
But other than that, I mean, it was.
Well, I'm going to wear your shirt today when I cut this video.
Are you going to be more or less nervous when you wear this shirt?
I will be zero nervous at
Nick,
all.
What
I'm probably going to be stinkier.
I need you to perspire the hell out of your pits.
Barry, did you smoke a J before you got here? Oh, no. This...
I want your pits. I want you to go like do push-ups in the hallway until he gets the shirt
so
that your pits are sweaty so that he has to realize that when he puts it on and it feels a little soggy in there, that your sweat is going to be on him.
What size is it?
Either a medium or a small. I couldn't tell you.
Are you serious?
Oh, my goodness.
I don't wear anything but medium or small.
There's no way I'm fitting in that shirt. Never mind.
You know how?
There's no way I'm fitting into a medium.
Try it on.
I might fit a medium. There's no way I'm fitting a small. I would look like and Tommy Boy when he's like, fat guy in a little
shirt.
That would be me. Yeah.
Hey, Earl Campbell and Nolan Ryan just called. They just said, welcome to the family, Barry. because they all sell sausage and you're going to look like one. You're going to be in sausage casing to cut this video. It might be the highest clicked on video.
I'm just going
to
wear my jacket.
Just because of the fact that everybody wants to see you skin tight in a swimmer's outfit.
That would be kind of funny. That would be kind of funny if I did it not acting like my shirt doesn't fit. And people are like, does this guy know he's wearing a half shirt polo? Like, why is he wearing, why is his belly button showing and it has a collar on?
This hot take That's... brought to you by Speedo's new line of polo shirts. Oh my goodness.
Oh, that would
Stay
be great.
Tuned for that. And oh yeah, Charles in Charge next. Charlie Palillo, 1:30 to 2, as we always do, Mondays and Fridays, right here on The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
Warning, warning. You're listening to ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, as we mentioned before the break, the man, the myth, the legend, Charlie Palillo, stepping on over from the sister station.
Are you showing him nudes? What are you showing him?
Showing me him at the shortstop position, picking up a short hop.
Oh, okay.
You want to see it?
Nope.
Then you can show him some of your video of your performances that he missed?
Nope.
You guys can share video? Be swappers?
Nope.
Come on.
We're good.
You want to swap a little
Charlie
bit?
Charlie and I are on the same wavelength. Right.
You were intended comedy. That's a fundamental difference.
Did you mess it up or did you pick it cleanly?
No, this is a
You think
fine
he's going to show
action.
Me a video of him kicking it, right. booting it, and knocking it down to the outfield?
Okay. Right. Well, good.
Three camera shoot.
No.
Yeah.
Nah, it's just a fixed camera behind home plate.
Got
for
your
some
got your fielding stats.
All star game had your mic'd up, and Charlie had mic'd up on Sunday softball.
That's it.
It's fantastic.
Nice.
So, what was the hot topic on the sister station? 94.1 FM.
Nothing even lukewarm.
I know,
it's the
right?
Worst sports week of the year until the All Star week in baseball this summer.
But we were talking about it. All of a sudden, it's like as much as we were expecting it to be a really tough get for any like pertinent, serious information to talk about. All of a sudden, last night, it was like from Fergie to the All-Stars to Cushing to everything else. It was like they just started cutting up the all of a sudden, we got filet cut up for us to just devour.
Well,
at the
for
end.
The dead zone, at least their stuff. I mean, Cushing was inevitable.
Mm-hmm.
Fergie was interesting.
So were you, because I found some people that were like, it wasn't that bad. She at least she was on key. And I was like, well.
Mostly.
Mostly. There were some
professional,
parts.
Accomplished singer with platinum records and has done Super Bowl halftime. Yeah, I'm not some tonal expert on this stuff, but I mean, Pink at the Super Bowl was on key, I thought.
Right.
I just don't understand why she tried to make it so sexy.
The old Charlie Steiner line on Carl Lewis, Francis Scott off key.
Yeah. Yeah, yes. Carl Lewis was like, you talk about a Ginsu knife going through the anthem. I mean, he hacked the hell out of it.
It wasn't, to me, it wasn't Carl Lewis and Roseanne bad.
Right.
It was, because most of it was on key. It was just like, why are you trying to give everyone a boner? Like, that's, why are you singing sexy?
She finished, and she got the words right. Although some people went back and listened to it, because they're like, that sounded so off. Did she really get the right words?
The national anthem should not be cooed.
No. No, in fact, I...
It's like she was on a lounge stage at Bellagio or somewhere. Actually, more like Circus Circus.
I ended up making a parody video of it.
Which
and
is
I
fantastic.
Took the scene from Roger Rabbit where Jessica Rabbit comes out
That's
and sings.
Funny. That's funny. I thought of Jessica Rabbit and the other one. You ever see the Fabulous Baker Boys?
Yeah,
yes. Michelle Pfeiffer.
Yeah, Michelle Pfeiffer. Yeah.
So I took that scene where she's in the lounge singing, and it's almost identical in length. It is identical in length from the time she comes out to the time it's over. To Fergie's national anthem, and I just put it all together and put it on the internet, and it's pretty damn close. Like you can't tell that it's unless you watch the. You would think that they made this cartoon for this sexy lounge singer right. singing the national anthem.
Yeah, so
it's
I'm
terrible.
Not morally outraged, calling for her deportation or anything like that. But
she's Canadian, right?
No,
please
no,
tell
she's,
me.
She's
I know,
American. Lady.
I know, guys. It was a joke.
But
only a Canadian would do that.
That's not how the anthem's supposed to be done. She was not on The Voice. I know she's trying to rejuvenate her career. She's single and ready to mingle, right? The whole Josh Hamilton thing is over, so I guess she was
putting
herself out there.
More like Black Eyed Jeez. What, guys?
Wait, that was funny, too. See what he did there?
Watch out!
It's all green here. Next segment, dad jokes.
Now let's get stopped, not started. Right?
Okay. But the thing is, she's hosting, she's hosting the Diddy and DJ Khaled version of American Idol as well.
Okay.
But look,
well,
she has
not
the voice.
American Idol.
She
this
can
not-
sing. My analogy was more or less, if you took Aaron Neville, who has that signature kind of where he sits on notes, but tried to put that on the anthem, it would only tried to do it naked. I mean, she tried to sex it up and do some of her signature little voice staccatos, and it just didn't. It was awful. And the greatest was the videos I think Barstool did. They took almost every player at different points, their reaction, and even Steph Curry, who always tries to be, you know, marketing, you know, savvy and everything like that, he couldn't hold it in anymore. They were just cracking up. They were like, "What is this,
man?" Draymond Green, actually laughing was great.
Yeah, because he generally breathes with his mouth open.
He
which
does.
You know, I'm not drawing any conclusions based on, but there was they had the one shot of Draymond, who this being radio, of course, but he's just there
with his mouth.
That's
open.
Kind of his normal expression. Yeah. She was trying too hard.
Way too hard.
She did look
hard.
Good, but she was trying to. You don't sex kitten up the anthem.
Let's play some basketball.
Marilyn Monroe singing
Happy Birthday,
Mr. President. Yeah.
That's Happy Birthday. This is the Star Spangled Banner.
Yeah.
And here's the thing, too. When you look at the whole thing, the way it went down, the only thing that kind of saved her, but it didn't, was Kevin Hart. The whole overdrawn intro before the intro before the intros was just horrible.
I forget if it was here or up the hall where I said I don't find him all that funny.
You said it here.
Okay. Whoa.
I'm feeling validated.
Oh.
Yeah, you've said it here. But I mean, I don't know if you, Barry, because I know you were flipping back and forth. I don't know if you guys saw this, but first it was a pre-taped video that led into an on-stage acting out of Rob Riggle and a cast of
it was bad.
Five.
Does Jamie Foxx have a Western coming out? Was that some part of the angle, or what was?
And then he
what
made
was
it.
This?
So basically,
because I
Kevin
watched.
Hart is in like a pseudo. It was pre-taped, but he's in a boardroom with his writers, uh-huh. And he's trying to figure out what's next for him.
Yeah, I was
and
in
what
a
he could do.
Boardroom too, waiting for the damn thing.
Exactly.
To end.
So then they transform from that to the live stage right there by the court, where Kevin Hart is with Rob Riggle, where one of his guys promised he's going to make him an NBA player. And then Rob Riggle's going, no, you're going to do this, you're going to do that. Then they go through, then Jamie Foxx comes out, and he starts doing like a pseudo-rap freestyle on all the players with some dancing. Then he goes away, and then I don't even know the ass clown's name that made one bad movie and hosted the MTV Awards. But he comes out and he does like another
Modern
version
Family.
Of it.
He was a recurring character on Modern Family, was I think.
Yeah, that. But we're still not to the intros.
Yeah.
And I'm going, how long is this? And even Michael Wilbon, who's normally pretty close to the vest when it comes to talking about sports, they went to him and he goes, well, you know, right before Kevin Hart went on stage after the video ran, I went down to Sunset Boulevard's Fatburger and got an order. And by the time I came back, he was still on stage, so I didn't miss anything.
That's funny. You see, I didn't watch any of that. I was watching the UFC fights, and I had recorded the All-Star game. And then I got a tweet from somebody that had Fergie with a crying Jordan. And I was like, oh, what happened? Like, I had no idea that she had butchered the national anthem like she did. So I was like, all right, I've got to go watch that when these fights are over. So I once the fights were done, I pulled it up, watched that, and was just like, I have to stop now and make this video. So then I skipped everything. I just watched. I went straight to
Lucky
the national
you.
Anthem.
Yeah, he didn't miss
and
much.
Then started watching the game, and I actually turned it off at the bounce pass alley-oop in the first quarter. I was
from
like,
LeBron,
I'm done.
Yeah.
This is how the game's going to go. I don't need to watch this game.
Well, and Marv is 75 or 76 years old through that whole pregame. Now, they were on Pacific time, but Marv had to be saying, can we get on with it, please?
It's my bedtime.
Yeah, it was
the most boring pregame ever. Yes!
But overall, did it work? I mean, because people
the game?
The game itself.
For an All-Star game, and I didn't watch it straight through. I saw some of the first quarter, jumped to the halftime stuff where Barkley was great on Fergie.
Yep.
And Shaq trying to equate her performance to Whitney Houston at the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
All right,
you
Shaq.
Lost some credibility there, Shaq.
And then I picked up the last few minutes of the game where there was a little defense play. But it's an All-Star game. So for an All-Star game, I thought it was all right.
So like I said, I literally, the bounce pass, the alley-oop went down, and I went, good night. I'm going to bed now. This is ridiculous.
I tried.
1 o'clock in the morning, but I'm not watching that.
I really did. I tried in the first half.
Yeah.
And I was just like, oh my God, this is painful. And like you guys, I was back just checking a little bit, but I caught the last 5 minutes, which I thought was great. But at the same time, to hear everybody sing the praises of how fantastic the idea was and how it worked with it, and there was defense.
Chris Webber and Reggie Miller?
Yeah, defense where? I mean, all that was a bunch of messed up attempts at fancy plays. That wasn't defense. But at the end of the day, one thing that I did say was the money's going to factor in. And it did, because the guys tightened the screws in the final 5 minutes because they knew, hey, that difference between $100,000 and $25,000, I can use that a lot of different ways.
By the way, I looked at Fergie's Twitter. Not a peep. Not a single thing has been posted. She tweeted on February 14th, and then she retweeted the NBA All-Star Twitter account 21 hours ago. Nothing since then.
Well, has she really come out and said anything?
Oh, it's out there.
Good and bad, and plenty of people will notice, well, she looked good.
No, she did, and the thing was, a lot of people were already sending out warning shots like, hey, Fergie, do yourself a favor, stay off of Twitter for 24 hours. Because she, you know, you kind of just knew she was going to get killed.
Yeah, no doubt. It was pretty bad. It was pretty bad, so.
Yeah. All right, well, we'll continue to kick it around with you a little bit.
All right, this commercial announcement for RoofMD and General Contracting, Mark Donaldson. He's the owner, lifelong Houstonian, takes pride in being as educated a roofer and general contractor as you can find anywhere, really, throughout the city. Now, don't let the name RoofMD fool you. They do a lot of work, from painting and gutters and window replacement, drywall repair. But, of course, the roofing is at the heart of what they do. And you can get your roof inspected for absolutely free. Not linked to, if you purchase this, then you get the free inspection. Free roof inspection for the asking, which frankly you should have done on an annual basis. Just give Mark and Company a call at 832-967-ROOF and you will get an honest, educated, professional general contractor working for you. 832-967-ROOF. If you need work on any front, financing includes zero down for 12 or 18 months or low interest, low monthly, longer term payment plans. 832-967-ROOF. Say hey to Mark and mention you heard about it here on ESPN 97.5.
There you have it. More with Charlie in the next segment as we continue with hour number one of the three-hour extravaganza. We call it The Usual Suspects, and we'll be back to call more right here on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
You heard the man, The Usual Suspects, all present and accounted for, and the person of interest that joins us Mondays and Fridays from our sister station, 94.1 FM, and the host of the Charlie Polillo Show. It is none other than Charles and Charles in Charge. We were going to play the theme song for you, Charlie, just to... We weren't going to provide Nicole Eggert.
I never met Nicole Eggert.
Though in her current standing, it would not mean as much as if we got her back in the day. As long as she was of age. You know what I'm saying?
Small detail, yeah.
Yeah. But, yeah.
Look at all the stones on the target there. What's the Olympic record? See, that story, the first drug bust at the Olympics is a Russian curler?
Nick and I were talking about Russian curler gets busted for doping. What?
I don't know how why you would. That's like
it's shuffleboard on ice. Why would you have to dope?
It should be Russian curler busted for drinking. You know, I mean, you expect that. The guy from the United States who looks like he's ready to check your oil, fill up your gas tank, and wash off your windshield. Have you seen this guy? He's like the representative of the United States curling effort for their team. He's got the very flat visor, but not in flat visor. He's got it like perched up so it almost looks like a shark fin on the top of his head. He wears a t-shirt slightly too small, and he's got the big porn mustache. And they were asking him about it today. It's like, of course this guy doesn't do any doping.
And we're losing to Canada. Unless it's like golf and lower is better. I don't know.
I have no idea in curling. But by the way, do you guys see who the biggest fan of curling is?
No, who?
Vernon Davis, the tight end for the Redskins that played for the Niners.
It's sweeping the... Oh,
see what you did
damn
there?
Damn it! It's sweeping the nation,
literally,
though.
The Today Show did a special on it. He literally is there right now as the... I guess he, you know, he got one of those, like, honorary captain title. But he's so into it, he doesn't miss any of it. He, like, goes to practice with the guys, the whole thing. And I'm like, this is an NFL tight end that cares this much about glorified lawn bowling on ice?
It looks fun to try. I don't know about becoming an obsession. There used to be a Sunday morning curling club at the Galleria.
It became pickup softball, didn't it?
No.
I thought that's where your game evolved.
Maybe curling, I need to evolve back the other direction.
I don't know.
But, you know, like bar shuffleboard or old people shuffleboard, there are worse ways to kill a few minutes.
You're drinking. You're not taking PEDs. I don't get it. And they've had enough trouble already as it is with their athletes and doping.
Right.
But their curling team, what exactly? And I didn't get his answer today because I wasn't interested enough. That's what they said. They asked the United States guy, like, how is doping effective in your sport? And he sat there dumbfounded for a second, like,
see what we do, right?
I don't know.
I read it a curling contest. Is it a match? Is it a curling game?
But it can take
more than 2 hours.
But the question is, which one was doping? Was it the broom guy or was it the slider
stretchy
guy?
The slider.
Yeah, because I could see the broom guy doping because if you build up your arm strength, then you can just sit there and sweep all day long and you don't get tired.
Can't you just take Adderall for that? Isn't that legal?
Yeah, but that doesn't help you with like building up your arm muscles for recovery and stuff.
It's the same drug that got Maria Sharapova banned from tennis for more than a year. It's supposed to improve endurance and blood flow or something.
Because, I'm telling you what, you need endurance on the curling ice or whatever the hell you call it.
But if you're doing that broom really fast and it's a more than 2 hour competition, it's like the home run derby. You know, those guys get tired.
I got something that could do the same kind of motion and get your forearms in great shape and you don't have to worry about PEDs. I'm just saying, you can brush a little off that and, you know, probably brush some time off of your slide.
Yeah.
I don't get it.
It doesn't make any sense to
me. And we had a Warbro malfunction last night. Wasn't quite Janet Jackson, but in the ice dancing, France's team had a wardrobe malfunction on the female and there was nipple.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, and it looked like there was a tattoo on the side of it, but that might have just been the
remaining costume?
The fringe from the costume, but yeah, she
average figure skater, though, not that busty.
No.
I was going to say, Charlie, you may be more chesty than she was, but at the same time, it still was a malfunction.
Because my first reaction was like, oh, this dude's nipples out.
Yeah.
And then, Never mind.
No, it was the female. Yeah.
Yeah. But at first, I got confused. I was like, oh, all right.
I'm sad I missed this. I'm just waiting for the commercial.
No, you really didn't miss much. Like, you can get way more on like a Pornhub or an X Videos or something. It's not
way
worth it.
Way more.
It's not worth it.
Doesn't Margot Robbie have to win Best Actress? If Margot Robbie dumbed it down to look like Tonya Harding?
Yeah. That was difficult.
Or at least costuming or makeup or
They've got to get a makeup award.
I've told these guys, having spent time in Portland when Tonya was in Portland and during that time, there was no bones about it. And they did doll her up just to make her look good for competitions. But she was rough then. She is sandpaper rough now.
Yeah. That's not someone that...
Did you see iTonya? Either
way, I haven't seen it.
I didn't see it. I have no desire.
I've heard it's great.
I have no desire to watch it.
And Allison Janney plays Tonya Harding's mother, who apparently is just an evil person. And, well, you know, you are to some extent who you grew up around and it helped explain Tonya Harding's mess.
Are they using a compass to measure who is closer here? Wow, they sure are. Now I know why curling is a joke. They actually got a protractor out and a compass to measure.
Why does that make it a joke? Makes it very precise.
Because they're doing math.
Easy, Daryl Morey. We're talking about curling.
Like, there's a guy, there's somebody in the seventh grade in Canada using a compass going, one day,
well, I
hope to be a curling judge.
Because
that's when I'll be able to use this.
Someone was quoted about why you might juice or the benefit that, you know how much each of those stones weigh?
No.
42 pounds.
But you're pushing
They're on ice.
Right, it's not the discus. That was my reaction. Yeah. It's sliding on ice.
So you're going to get someone that's limber to squat down flamingo style and push it. And then you've got a couple of dudes that are real jacked in the shoulder area to do the... Huh?
Fine for me, not having
The ringer turned
down.
Having some respect for the other side.
So what could be added to the Summer Olympics that would be tantamount to curling at the Winter Olympics? Darts?
Softball.
Hey, softball's coming back. So this is the guy who'd be winded going from first to third on a
No, I would not, sir. You come play basketball with us anytime.
Yeah, no, I'll grant you that one.
Yeah. I don't, you know, first of all, bowling? I don't think golf should be in the Olympics. I really don't. And I know that they're trying hard for it.
It's such an individual sport, yeah.
It is. I don't think.
So is track.
So is tennis.
They just figure they can draw sponsorship dollars, probably.
Probably.
And because of the whole, because golf's gotten to a different level popularity-wise, people wanted to see some of that.
I guess the equivalent for the Summer Olympics would be like cornhole. Like, if you had cornhole in the Summer Olympics, it's like, really? That's not okay. Let's just.
Yeah, and then you'd be thinking, I could be an Olympian.
Yes.
I'll offend everybody. Some people.
USA.
I'll offend some people because of the fact that their Super Bowl was yesterday, but I don't think that NASCAR is a sport.
Oh.
Because you just sit and drive.
It's a skill.
It's not a sport. A skill, not a sport. And I'm right there in the same line with curling. To me is like a bar game. I don't know that it's an Olympic event. But because it's been around for so long, why get rid of it? Why not?
It's either curling or lacrosse is the official national sport of Canada. It's not hockey.
Really?
I didn't know that.
I got the out of that.
How the hell did you know that?
I'm a fountain of useless information.
I did not know that. In other words,
next trivia night in the neighborhood, I'm calling you to come help, right?
What is the official national sport of Canada?
You needed Ed McMahon in the background to go, yes, right you are, little guru.
He's doing searches live on air. Hey, Siri! And then everybody's
Remember the last
phone?
Time you tried yeah. that? Yeah, you set off a whole bunch.
You know what? They changed it in recent years. Lacrosse is the national summer sport of Canada, and ice hockey is hereby recognized and declared to be the national winter sport
So
of
they've
Canada.
Broken it down into
you
seasons.
Gave us the wrong
so
information,
the National
Charlie.
Sports of Canada Act.
You led us on with your fast brushing curling only to let us down because it's not true.
An act to recognize hockey and lacrosse as the national sports of Canada, Her Majesty, bind with the advice and consent of the Senate and House of Commons of Canada, enacts as follows.
Steve Nash approved it. There you go.
Look at that. Boy.
No one can see. All right, with that being said, Charlie, appreciate you stopping in. We'll see you again on Friday, same time, 1:30 to 2. And you can listen to Charlie Monday through Friday, 11 to 1. On our sister station, SportsMap 94.1. You can always check the Polilog page on SportsMap as well, as he's a contributor to that as well as this. And we appreciate you, so we'll talk to you Friday. We'll be back with hour number two of the big show. Don't go anywhere. It's the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
To get the latest and best content on where to go, what to do, where to eat, and where to drink, go to culturemap.com.